The scripture lesson for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Christian congregation in Ephesus, the second chapter, beginning with verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in the 1980s, a structural architectural engineer came to look at Bethany's buildings. My dad was on the faculty at the time, and told us that after he had done a study of Old Main in particular, that he felt that Old Main might be the strongest building in the state of Minnesota. And so if you live up in Anderson Hall, take heart, right? But the foundation was so solid, and he spoke of a special rib cage built into the building that was so strong. Building codes is something that actually has only been filtered into American society in different states in somewhat more recent times. But there are actually codes for building that go back way before the time of Christ. The Code of Hammurabi, roughly 1,700 years before the time of Jesus, actually had things in it about how to build buildings. And we know in Jesus' day, as the Gospel of Luke records, that the Tower of Siloam came falling down, killing 18 people. It was quite a tragedy. Jesus mentioned it, knowing that was kind of like the 9/11 of its day for that community. And afterwards, they went through archaeologists have studied where that tower was, and they believe they tried to rebuild it and probably made some changes to it. This concept of buildings and potential structural failure is a concept that God occasionally, it's a little motif that the Holy Spirit occasionally works into Scripture. We see it mentioned in the Psalms. Peter mentions it. Jesus, of course. And the words before us here are from St. Paul. And one thing that we note in all of these uses of this by Scripture is that God alone is the builder. Not only the architect and designer, but the actual mason and the builder who puts it together. The stones by themselves, representing individual humans like us, the stones are by themselves lifeless. There is nothing in the stone. In fact, God frequently uses the image of a stone to show the heart of an unbeliever before being brought to faith, that it has no life in it. But God, by his miraculous touch through the gospel, comes and selects stones out of the pile, the heap of stones and rocks, and places them now into his holy Christian church, gives them life, and puts them in each one in a very particular spot in his church, in various walls and in various levels, all by his selection and his choosing. And they're all built, St. Paul tells us, upon the one perfect cornerstone. Now, in our day and age, cornerstones are usually kind of decorative pieces. They're often kind of a symbolic piece that often contains a box, and inside of that, maybe we put some special things when we build a new building, and we have some of those right on our campus. But back in ancient times, a cornerstone was a very particular stone that had to be cut with perfect 90-degree angles. It was the one stone that you could count on to line everything up to make sure that the rest of the building would not get askew. And so the cornerstone in that way was the perfect stone that everything else had to go off of. What a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one true, perfect one in this church of God upon which the whole church is built, the one who alone could live the perfect holy life that all of us would need that record to someday be led into heaven, the one who never once in his life did any one of the sins that can trouble and bother our consciences. And God now has taken and through his word and through baptism selects various stones to build into this church. And they're all built now upon Christ. We're told, in Christ, the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And so all around the world, through his word and sacraments, God is going and selecting various stones to put into this church through the hearts of people who now come to know in this wonderful Savior. And everything ultimately rests upon Christ and the foundation of his prophets that spoke before him and the apostles. The prophets were pointing ahead to the coming of the Christ, and the apostles are pointing back to the Christ and all that he has done and accomplished for us. It's interesting, speaking of the apostles and prophets being part of this great firm foundation for the church. I've occasionally had people say to me, you know, I like the teachings of Jesus, but I don't especially like St. Paul. St. Paul seems to be a little bit tougher, and it often has to do with moral issues, that people don't seem to like the way St. Paul writes, but Jesus always seems to be kind of the nice, soft-hearted one. And that's an easy temptation for many people to fall into. There are people that want to view the scriptures differently, as if the gospels are the pure thing, and maybe everything before that and everything after that is kind of down a level or so. But that's not what our Lord Jesus himself tells us. Jesus, speaking to his apostles, who would be used by the Holy Spirit to write these words, he says this: the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will take from what is mine, meaning his doctrine and the saving gift of the gospel. He will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So this bottom level of God's church is the foundation of the writing of these apostles and these prophets who are all pointing to the chief cornerstone of our Lord. And it's really wonderful, isn't it, to think that these apostles are still speaking to us today. They still address us today. And it's amazing to me when you study Scripture just how relevant what the Bible teaches is still to everyday life, even in our modern day. Even though we live 2,000 years after the time of St. Paul. But how relevant God's Word continues to be throughout time and throughout history for all of us. Now, sometimes we may wonder, when we look at ourselves, am I really one of the rocks or the stones in this church? You may look at our own weaknesses, our sinfulness. We know ourselves pretty well, better than anybody else sitting near us today. We know how weak we can be. We know how wavering our faith is. We know that we're very, very imperfect at following God's commands. It's important for us to remember that God has not selected you or me because we are a perfect stone. We are rather rough and raw and full of sin. But because of our connection of being built onto the foundation of Christ, that's where we have our perfection, is in him. Only a Christian worries about whether or not he or she is a Christian. That's kind of comforting, isn't it? If you are troubled by the possible fear that, well, what if I'm really not a believer in Christ? Well, that's the kind of concern that a believer would have. It might mean you have a weak faith that needs to be strengthened. It might mean that through God's word, the Holy Spirit needs to build up that faith and edify it even more greatly. But only a believer worries about being an unbeliever in that sense. All the buildings of this world, including Old Main, are going to fall down someday as the world is finally brought to destruction. But this one holy building that our Lord has built, his holy Christian church, will be the last building standing on that final day, because the church shall never perish, and against both foe and traitor she ever shall prevail. What a blessing to be part of this temple. Amen.